We've come to the last worship service of 2014, unless there's a New Year's Eve service that I'm not aware of, but otherwise this will be the last. Is there time? No, okay. So this is the last worship service of 2014, and whenever we come to the end of a year, you know, there's nothing, as someone said, there's nothing sacred about turning a calendar. So why should we even pay any attention to it? Which I guess is a fair question. Why in church should we pay any attention to the fact that you had to throw away the old calendar or, you know, save it for old time's sake and put a new one up? How many of you save your old calendars? I would just like to know. Yeah, several of you. Yeah. You know, in my boxes of junk that I moved here 7 years ago when we came to town, I have all of my calendars from about 20 years of ministry. I think if my wife ever found them, she'd throw them all away. Mostly because they mean nothing. It's all in the past. What we need is to look to the future. But, you know, there's the past. We kind of like to hang on to the past. It's the thing, you come to New Year's Eve and at midnight, if you're watching the ball drop in New York City, and you know it's all over the TV, and what's going to happen is that suddenly there'll be this song that starts playing, and it's "Auld Lang Syne." And anybody familiar with "Auld Lang Syne"? Anybody ever heard of "Auld Lang Syne"? There was a man on the street interview recently that was done. They were asking some people, can you sing a few bars of "Auld Lang Syne"? And they said, is that by One Direction? And they really weren't too sure, you know, about what is "Auld Lang Syne." Well, it's a fluke. Did you know that? It's a fluke. Shortly after the stock market crash in 1929, at the end of October in 1929, we're coming to the new year. Between 1929 and 1930, Guy Lombardo and his great band were playing songs for two different radio shows. One was going right up to midnight, and the other started after midnight. And in between, they played, just kind of by happenstance, this song from Robert Burns called "Auld Lang Syne." And behold, a tradition was born. And now everybody has to sing "Auld Lang Syne," and if you know what it means, you're doing better than by far the majority of the people who will hum along. They don't know the words. They know you're supposed to know the words. But it's the end of the year. And should "Auld Lang Syne," should old acquaintance be forgotten? And "Auld Lang Syne." Now, "Auld Lang Syne," loosely translated, I understand, means all the good things of the past. Should we let the good things of the past just lie? That's why I keep my old calendars. There are some good things in there as well as some very awful things. Because the past kind of defines who we are today. And those calendars, calendars show us that there was an appointment for all these different things that went on. It's kind of like the teacher in Ecclesiastes says. We're going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you were alive during the 60s and paid attention to music at that time, you heard the birds. One of the great... Yeah, they weren't so great. They were one of the contemporary singers of the time. They took Ecclesiastes 3 and they made a hit song out of it. Rose all the way to number 9 on Dick Clark's American Bandstand. And, you know, just a terrific, terrific thing. You know, the birds made Ecclesiastes 3 an everyday thing in American households as they listen to the radio. It's just kind of interesting tidbit there. Anyway, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to be reading the first 11 verses. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent. And a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Those words from God's scripture that he has given to us and that he calls us to try to understand and to have as a part of what our life is all about. Ecclesiastes 3. Perhaps in your life, as you have you've lived your life, you've probably at one time or another seen or heard about or probably have been present at a viewing of one of the great movies of all time, one released 20 years ago, The Lion King. Anybody ever heard of The Lion King? All right. You probably have it in your own home library. And in The Lion King, we have this story of Simba, who is, that's, by the way, that's a Swahili word for lion cub. There's Simba and Mufasa. That's his father. And Mufasa, that's a Swahili word for king of the lions. So you've got Mufasa and Simba, and then you've got the dark brother, you know, the creepy uncle. And Mufasa and Simba are drawn in these round and very muscular ways, and the creepy uncle is more skinny and angular, and he's drawn in black. And they don't give him a Swahili name, they just call him Scar. And so you've got these Mufasa and Simba, and you got Scar. And as the story unfolds, what you discover is that the authors of the story are trying to give us a sense that there is this thing in life that says that one generation rises and another falls. There is a circle of life. There's a very catchy song. It was nominated for an Academy Award. It didn't win because another song, there were actually three songs from that particular movie that were not nominated for Best Song in a Movie that year. Only one could win the Academy Award, and that was the one about No Worries. Hakuna Matata? Hakuna Matata. And No Worries, No Worries. That's how you live, No Worries. But anyway, there was a different song that begins the movie. And it's called The Circle of Life. And it goes like this. From the day we arrive on the... Pushed my advance button there. From the day we arrive on the planet and blinking step into the sun, there's more to see than can ever be seen, more to do than can ever be done. There's far too much to take in here, more to find than can ever be found. But the sun rolling high in the sapphire sky keeps great and small on the endless round. It's the circle of life. And it moves us all through despair and hope, through faith and love, till we find our place on the path unwinding. In the circle. The circle of life. Now, people have thought about the movie The Lion King. What they've discovered, and actually in discussing this with the producers of the show, the producer said, well, this is really where we got the idea from. You find echoes of Shakespeare's stories, but more particularly echoes of Joseph and Moses. Those stories. And it's not like you know, this year's epic fail, the Exodus, Gods and Kings with Moses, which didn't make a lot of sense. But anyway, the story catches us up because what it does is it teaches us, and we know that our hearts resonate with this, that there is a circle in life, that there is a sense in which life has this coming and this going, this rising and falling. There's this circle of life. It's like the wheels on a bus that go round and round. You know that's a wheel on the bus go round and round, round, all through the town. You know, there's something to that, though. You watch the wheels, and they go round and round. And there's a certain spot on that wheel that goes up, and it goes down. It goes up, and it goes down. It goes up, and it goes down. And when it stops and never moves again, that's when something's really wrong. We find our place unwinding, says the song, in the circle of life. Now, the Bible, I think, addresses us in a similar way. There we'd find there is a cycle to life, because there are the times of growing, and there's the times of going down. When Noah came out of the ark and God spoke to him and said, from now on, there's not ever going to be an ending of summer and winter, of seed time and harvest. God was saying there's always going to be this cycle of seasons that will go on throughout the year, and every year you will see them going. And when we come to the end of a year, we realize that, you know what, we've just seen another cycle. There was a bitter winter. There was a little bit of a spring. There was kind of a nice summer, and then it was fall, and now we're to the end of the year. And all you have to do is click on on the thing on Facebook, and it'll show you your year until finally somebody clicks and says, quite frankly, I don't care to see what your year was about. And I look back at my year. I have not inflicted on my friends on Facebook the thing of my year. I don't need to go back over this year, quite frankly. This year has had some really wonderful things going on for us, and then there were some things that weren't so good that went on for us this year. And at the end of the year, become a little reflective about that. Janine and I have been gone for about 6 months. Astounding. 3 new grandbabies this year. Aha. So if I would inflict my Facebook on you, you would see me holding my 3 little grandbabies that came to life this year. But there were also other things that went on this year that weren't all that good. There have been struggles, there have been pain. There have been times when I wondered what God might be doing. And always I ask myself, what does it say about the cycle that we see in life? About a week and a half ago, I got a call early one morning from my oldest brother. My oldest brother this past year has been on his 3rd year of chemo and radiation from a really bad case of colon cancer. He's slowly dying. And this year has been a few steps down for him. So he calls me early one morning, a week and a half ago, and he says, now I have 3 brothers who are older than I am, the 4th brother, I have a younger sister. And he said, now Denny, which is the one that Ed's the oldest, and there's Pete, and there's Denny, and then there's me. Denny had a bad heart attack overnight, and the doctors are telling his wife, it don't look good. Well, that kind of messed up my day. Here's my brother who's slowly dying of colon cancer calling me to say that another brother had a bad heart attack and it didn't look good. And right away I think, oh man, if he dies and I'm supposed to preach on 28th, oh, what am I going to do? But, you know, there's this stuff that goes on in life. There's the times that it rises, and there's the times that it falls. A new generation is born, an older generation dies off. It's the cycle that life has. And anybody who lives a reflective life, when we come to the end of a year and we look back at what has gone on, we ask ourselves, what has this year been like? Every one of us has had an equal number of days and minutes to live this year. Now, I know for some of us, the year has gone really fast. For others, it has jogged really slowly. But believe it or not, all the clocks moved at exactly the same pace. Every one of us has had the same amount of time to live. And if you look back on your calendar this week and you think about the year that has gone by, what is it that you're going to be paying most attention to? If I ask you, what did you do with 2014? What kind of answer would you give? Because I think that what we would do is we would immediately begin to talk about how productive or unproductive we have been. That's how we think. What did you do with your year? Oh, wow, I did this. And we begin to list off all of the things that we did. Because in our culture, to do things is what is honored. At one point, I was at home, and Janine was gone, and she called me up, and I was going to be preaching the next day, and she asked me, "So, what have you been doing?" Wanted to find out what my life was like. And really what I had been doing that Saturday morning is trying to get my heart in the right place so I could preach the next day. There's quite a bit of effort that goes into this for me. My heart is a wild thing, and it needs to be tamed in order to walk in such a way as to be able to speak for the Lord. And so she says to me, "So what have you been doing?" And immediately I do not say, "Trying to get in sync with God." Instead, I say, "Oh, I fixed the gate, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this." All these doing things. Which really don't matter. Because all of the things that I had been doing, we'd been waiting to do them for about 3 years. So, you know, in a way, it was kind of good to do those. But in a way, it really didn't make much sense because, you know, what was the good of crowing about it when we'd been putting it off for that long? It wasn't that high a priority. I think a better question for us at the end of a year would be to say, have I been in sync with the rhythm of God in His world? Because you see, when you read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you hear there is a time for this, there's a time for that. There's a time for this, there's a time for that. There is this rhythm that begins to be heard. There is a rhythm that develops. One thing and its opposite. One thing and its opposite. And it goes on and on. And it uses this word that says there is a time for everything. And a season for every activity under the sun. And what that word time is in the Hebrew, it's a word that describes a certain point on the calendar. So there's a point on the calendar for us to note these things. There's a time, it says, to be born in a time to die. A time to be born and a time to die. These are things that by and large in our culture we acknowledge are in the hand of God. In our medically saturated culture, we try to avoid this whole idea that there's a time to die. But it's real. We rejoice at the time to be born, and we grieve at the time to die. We don't mind telling lots of people about the fact that a child has been born, but we hesitate to talk about the impending death of someone we love. But these are in God's hands. And they stand kind of as the bookends to everything that's going to be spoken of from there on. But there is a time to be born, there's a time to die. And you know, this is reflected every time you go to a graveyard and you look at a tombstone. There's the date to be born, there's a date to die. And those are the only two dates that really matter. And all of that life that's in between there, everything that you thought was so important that you just worried about and struggled with and worked for. It's all covered with a little dash. Because there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And we get into this cycle then, into this rhythm where we hear there is a time to plant and a time to uproot. I'm kind of an active gardener over here. I really enjoy being a gardener. And I know that there's a time to plant and there's a time to uproot. What I didn't know this past year is that planting garlic in the early summer is not the time to plant. That's the time to uproot. Ooh, I didn't know that. For some reason, my garlic didn't grow. I ignored the time. Because there's a time to plant, and there's a time to uproot. There's a time to kill. I have a real hard time with that one. John Grisham has a marvelous novel. It's entitled by that. And there's a time to heal. There's a time to tear down. Sometimes you just have to end something. And there's a time to build. There's a time to weep. There are appropriate times for weeping, but there's also appropriate times for laughing. And sometimes we can get so caught up in the weeping, we can get so caught up in the difficulty of life that we lose the capacity to know that there is a time to laugh. That there really is a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn and there is a time to dance. There's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. That seems to refer to in that day when an enemy would come into a land in order to keep the crops from growing, they would scatter stones everywhere and it would make plowing extremely difficult and you had to gather them up once again after the war was over. There's a time to embrace, there is a time to give a good hug, and there's a time to refrain. Sometimes it's just not appropriate to give that hug. There's a time to keep, like I do with my old calendars, and there's a time to throw away, which is what I should do. There's a time to tear. Sometimes you got to rip things apart, and sometimes you have to put them back together, and you have to mend them. There's a time to be silent. This is one in our culture we have an extremely difficult time with. Most of us turn on the radio or the television just to have some sound in the house because we can't bear silence. Because in the silence we hear our thoughts. So we need something to distract us from what goes on in our head. And so we try to not be silent. But there is a time for it. And there's a time to speak. There's a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time for war and there's a time for peace. It's the rhythm of God in His world. And in history, there's a time for this, there's a time for that, there's a time for this, there's a time for that. And so the rhythm grows. And the more we learn about what that rhythm is about, the more we can understand that this is something God wants for us in our lives, to be aware of it, to be able to live it, to get it inside of us, and to get ourselves in sync with God once again. Some years ago, Janine and I were going to be cool, and we took ballroom dancing classes. And we both grew up in homes where dancing was frowned upon, So dancing was not something that came naturally to us. It was poo-pooed out of us as young as they possibly could. And so here we were gathering on various Thursday nights with a group of other very clumsy people. And we were going to learn to dance. We were pastoring in New Jersey at the time, and every wedding reception, there was this dancing. And Janine and I always just kind of found a corner to go and sit in and hide. But then we thought, let's be cool. Let's learn how to dance. And you know, one of the things that was kind of neat is I learned a couple of lessons there that I think have served well over the years. And one was that until you hear the rhythm and the music, you can't dance. And every now and then, you know, I play 60s on 6 on my Sirius XM, and every now and then I hear the song, Guilty Feet Have Got No Rhythm. Yeah, that's it. We always had guilty feet, and we had no rhythm. But until we learn to hear the rhythm in the music, we can't dance to it. And so the instructor would keep trying to get us to hear the rhythm, and she'd play some really good music that had a strong rhythm so that you could begin to hear it. And she'd say, now move with the rhythm. Yeah, right. But then, and this is the really cool part, what I learned is that I got to lead, and Janine had to follow.
I am the leader of my household.
So, you need to follow me. And so, you know, I got to lead and Janine had to follow. And she had to learn to do everything backwards. It's like they talk about Grace Kelly and who was the guy, you know, and they talk about Arthur Murray, I guess it was. Anyway, Arthur could dance so wonderfully. I know, but Grace Kelly did it backwards in high heels. And so what you realize is that the one who follows has to learn to trust the lead of the person who is leading, and that there will not be a disaster. Because as the group of us clumsy people would be trying to learn to dance, there were often times when we were trying to occupy the same space, and we would collide. And then we would be told by the instructor that that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. The person leading was supposed to pay attention to where you were going to go. A couple years ago, a year and a half ago, not quite a year and a half ago, my wife and I went to an anniversary trip to the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island. Our kids gave us a trip there. And in the evenings, they have ballroom dancing. Oh, yeah, we just sat in the corner. But there was there a young couple, and it was rumored that they were hired by the hotel to show everybody how graceful people could actually be if you were as graceful as they were. And they danced and they danced and they danced, and it was amazing. The floor could be full of other people, and they would be dancing so marvelously, and they never hit anybody because the guy always was watching where they were going. And she always trusted where he led. And she just relied on feeling his hand on her back and on her hand and looking at his face. And she knew what she was supposed to do. Now, why I find this so fascinating is that in the scriptures, the church is called the bride of Christ. He is our bridegroom. And we are his bride. And And when it says that God makes everything beautiful in its time, most of us don't experience it that way because we are not in sync with God's rhythm. We are trying to dance to a different drummer. We're trying to dance to a different rhythm. We're trying to do our own thing and go our own way. But what we need to learn to do, as it says in the book of Hebrews, fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer. He is the leader and the author of your faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus as if He is your bridegroom. And you are learning to dance. You can't see where you're going. You don't know what you're going to run into. But you've got your eyes fixed on Jesus. And when your eyes are fixed on Jesus and you are dancing to the rhythm of God in His creation and in history, what you discover is that as long as you've got Jesus leading you, as long as you are following your bridegroom, God makes everything beautiful in its time. When you come to New Year's Day and you think about this year and you ask yourself what this year has been, don't ask yourself, what all did I do? Ask yourself instead, have I been dancing to the rhythm of God in history? Paul says, we walk, dare we say, we dance by faith, not by sight. Have you learned to dance with Jesus? When you do, God makes everything beautiful in its time. Let's pray. Father in heaven,